We're certainly glad that you're here, that you're a part of this program. This is Mark and Friends, and it's Thursday, April 12th, 2012, and I have two special guests in the studio, and I think we could talk for about 4 or 6 hours to capture just some of the essence or some of the snapshots of their life story and their love story and their story of seeing God provide and answer prayers through grandmoms, through family members, through extended family members. There's so much to say and discuss, so I'm going to jump right into our interview by leading off with a verse out of Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Words of Jesus spoken on the Mount of Beatitudes, a lovely place overlooking the Sea of Galilee. I think I've been there 25 plus times. It's just a serene area with rolling hills and mountainsides where literally thousands of people could gather. And they say because of the acoustics of the mountainside that Jesus could literally speak, and that his voice, as he would share the Sermon on the Mount and these verses out of Matthew, well, these verses that are recorded in Matthew, where people could have heard and it would have gone up the hill and thousands could have really heard him speak. But the seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We're going to talk about, because of a dear, sweet lady that I'm just getting to know, who authored a book called The Girl with a Lotus in Her Hair, A Korean War Bride Story of Courage, Love, and Survival. And reading from the back of the book, written by Haejin Lee Burton, born into an educator and landowner's family during the Japanese occupation, was a young girl who survived as a prisoner of war during the Korean conflict and learned to live through the hard times. Her intriguing story tells of danger, isolation, loneliness, rejection, and the worst of all wars, family members caught up in the drug culture. And Roger, your lovely husband, Haejin, I'm excited to introduce. Some of our listeners may know him just from the farming, and your last name, Burton. You've been in the Paxton area for a number of years, and your family and relatives, and you both currently live in Urbana, Illinois. You've been there for about 23 years, married 52 years. You have three grown children, Joey, who's a practicing doctor, I think, in the Charleston, Mattoon area, and then Jennifer and Jeffrey live locally in the greater Champaign-Urbana, Muhammad area. So there's so many different stories, and I don't know where to start other than to say I finished your book just this morning, and I was intrigued by all the examples of what it's like for a Korean person from South Korea to come to the United States, somebody that's used to having servants around and in a wealthy family, a very different environment from what we experience here in the Midwest, and then to come to a farm and be married to a farm family, and yet your husband was a Vietnam vet. Roger, you served. Thank you for serving our country in so many different ways throughout Vietnam and the armed forces and being overseas and serving a number of duties or tours, I guess they call them, and you've traveled and lived throughout the world. But, oh, there's just so many different parallels and things I want to talk about. Just the importance of grandmother's prayers, because we have a lot of elderly senior saints that pray, and I know, Haejin, that your grandmother's prayers were very foundational, and maybe that protective shield that watched over you through many times of disappointment and tragedy and heartache and hurt. And you have your biological mom and stepmom and foster mom, and being moved around and kind of shuffled around, there was insecurity and disappointment and all the things you had to suffer through, as I learned about the Japanese occupation of Korea, Korean conflict. It took me through a lot of history that, I don't know, my generation, I don't think we know a lot about the Korean War, much of the Vietnam War. I was only 8 or 9 during that time, and so it just seems like we didn't learn a whole lot. So I learned a lot about the Korean culture and just things that I take for granted when an international is here and we say things like, we get cold feet. Well, what does that mean? Or asking Jesus into the heart. Well, what does that mean? So share some of your story, some of your love story. You've been married 52 years, so thank you for staying strong in your marriage. I know there's been some heartache and disappointment, and yet it seems like that Matthew verse, you've seen God provide very specifically, and maybe not even knowing that he was there watching over you in the past as he protected you from greater harm. But here's something that you recount in your book that I thought we could focus focus a little on the love story, and then the love story God had for both of you, not only bringing you together, but watching over you through these many years. Here's something that, hey, Jin, you're recounting a story on a flight as somebody's asking you about, is this your first time to America? And you're saying, yes, I have married an American Armed Forces man, and I am the most blessed girl in the world. My new husband loves me, loves my son, and has given me the family I dreamed of having since childhood. And so we'll talk a little about your childhood. And then later on, you're talking about your first date. And here's what's recounted in your book. However, he said that evening, it was not a date. This is when you first went out. I guess he might just want some company. And then you state, he was the most handsome man I saw that night. He was a real man. He was very kind. I like what I felt when I looked at him. I had fun, and it has been a while since I've had so much fun with everyone. Now, I'll preface a few of my comments, and then I'm going to give over this time for you to share some of your story. But, Roger, you know how opposites attract, and it seems like you and Hey Jin are kind of like what I envision with Green Acres. You know, you're the farm boy, hog farmer, soybean, corn. You lived in the Paxton area. You kind of grew up a man of few words, as I am not, but you're kind of quiet, more reserved, have a few things to say, and Hey Jin is kind of full of life and conversation and very talkative. And so you're serving our country, you're overseas. Take us through a little of your story.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, it is a wonderful thing that I did grow up in a small town named Paxton, Illinois, and enjoyed sports and high jumping and doing a lot of things there in school that some people might remember me back in 1957, which was a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Then I joined the service and decided I wanted to see the world. And as I was seeing the world, my first assignment was Korea. I went to Korea, and at the same time, I had bought a brand new 57 Chevrolet and didn't have quite enough money to make all the payments. And one day, the houseboy came up to me and said, hey, how would you like to teach English and make some money? I said, oh, my goodness, I don't know. He says, don't worry. All you have to do is talk to students and teach them how to pronounce the words. And I said, okay. So he gathered up a group of college students, one of them which was my wife at that time, and I didn't know I was going to be there. Mm-hmm. But she was in my class, and the first time I saw her while teaching English, I fell in love. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, it was nothing but happiness, mm-hmm. and I did take her on a first date to a company party, and I kissed her under the light pole on the way home. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, it was nothing but good tidings.
Yeah, 52 years now, and God's been involved throughout that time, sheltering and uniting and helping you both learn about forgiveness and redemption and caring for each other in unique ways through a number of struggles. And then you adopted Joey and then your own two children. Now, you were at what age you're serving in Korea? You're serving in the armed forces?
Yes, I was serving as a U.S. Army, and I was just turned 19 when I met my wife. Mm-hmm. So I was quite young.
Now, Hey Jin, you know, you grew up in a situation where you had your biological mother, but she was kind of missing in action. You were very young at the time, so you don't have the greatest memories of her. And throughout your book, The Girl with a Lotus in Her Hair, and you'll have these copies available at our Tuesday meet and greet this next week. But you went through a lot of heartache because you had your missing biological mother, and then you had this stepmother, and yet there was a time where, because of circumstances, I guess you had your foster mother. And as I'm reading your book, you're sharing sometimes you're daydreaming and thinking about one or the other in the situation. But some of the practices in Korea were foreign to me, where a husband can have a second wife. And I thought, I never knew that. And how if the second wife has children, they fall under the first wife as her children. So I learned a lot about different customs and practices. And I even love at the very end the practice at the Korean wedding where you have the two hand-carved
The duck.
The hand-carved ducks where they kind of face each other when there's marital bliss and things are going together. And when there's dissension or family issues, you kind of turn them away from each other. Right. And I think because you didn't have ducks at one point in your marriage, you utilized maybe the salt and pepper shaker or something. It's kind of neat, a little illustration because you didn't have those ducks. But I learned a lot about the Korean culture. So help us in the next few minutes know some of the narrative of your younger age, the importance of your grandmother's prayer. You grew up in a Christian family, but you learn later on about that personal relationship with Jesus.
I grew up with some strange, I guess, circumstances. And the early remembering was at early age was 5, and then came to my father's home and got to know my maternal grandmother, who she was most inspiring for. I guess even this day, she's not with me, but she's with me. That's the way I feel. And anytime if I have a hard life comes, I have to talk to her. And strange enough, we have her picture in our bedroom, and quite often I talk to her, Grandma, what am I going to do now?
Yeah, as a child, you always kind of referred to her because she was somebody that was praying throughout, inviting you into early morning hours of times where she would pray and pray and pray, and you just always felt like she was pointing towards God and having you have a relationship with God, and was kind of there as the mortar in your life. She was like a foundational block because you were kind of carted around with different people. And then take us through some of that, where at the time the Japanese had occupied North and South Korea, then there was World War II, and yet...
When Japanese occupation was there, then Korea was one nation, and then North and South was one. But then after the Second World War, and then we were divided in the 38th parallel, and so North and South is separated now. However, that time, I guess my earliest memory I had was that my first adoptive mother, and she was nothing but just love and caring. I remember that. And then I guess I can feel that how strong love from one woman to a child. And but then when I came back to my father's home, met my stepmother. And quite often I do refer her as a wicked stepmother.
Yeah.
So she lived up to that name. But now I'm thinking back, actually I'm thanking her for her harsh treatment toward me was really cost to meet my husband, actually. During that our system we had it in a home, and a decent woman marrying American soldier is pretty rare, and then also not permitted. That's a good way to say. But when I met Roger, I guess I broke all that their tradition and then went on and married him. And then I guess that was the Lord's will, because I've been praying for husband like him. And also, if it was my stepmother wasn't there, I would have never had a chance to even come close to him. So,
well, throughout your book, you always try to take a positive side or look at the bright side, because you had a lot of suffering and abandonment issues and people that, you know, this stepmother didn't feed you properly. And there was a lot of times where even as a child, because of your biological mother with her memory loss and stuff, left you abandoned a few times in the park, where everyone had to, where's my baby? And she didn't even realize she had a baby or remembered you. And so you kind of had to navigate through part of your life with that uncertainty without having proper care or being fed. And then there was the point where the Korean War started and the North Korean attacked the South, and you get detained and you're being forced to carry around rice and you're away from your family. I mean, you saw death and destruction. And I mean, as a little 10-year-old or a young child, all these different emotions. So later on, now you can look back and you see where God protected you from the shelling, the bombing. But how were you as a child navigating through that?
It's again, I remember my grandmother's prayer. And I know when that, particularly that the time that I was forced to go to the North Korea for carrying that rice to their front line, that's what they say. I didn't know that was front line then. But then that time, how I walked through this northern part of Seoul City with all chaos and the bombs, and then everything is scheduled. And then when I walked through the marketplace, everything was scheduled. And then I witnessed some people were injured and sit there and then just staring at the air and then doesn't even move. And when I find it, she had injury in her arm, but that two women sit there and staring at each other and not doing anything. And I thought, I tried to ask them to move, but they won't. And then as I come out, and then I seen that little boy was covered with some kind of straw or type of a bag, and then calling for their sister, "Sister, please help me," and saying that thirsty, "I'm so thirsty, water." That's what he said. And when I looked there, and his face was white as sheets. And then even this day, I remember this is, I guess, during that trip, that's the second time I really start praying for myself and then anybody else. And when I left it there, that boy was about 7 years old, somewhere in that area. And he was hit, and then blood all over. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they covered up with that mat, what they call straw mat. And then I had no water to offer him, but I had a pear that picked up in the marketplace. So I gave to him, and then he have a bite off of that, and then quieted him down. And then as I leave there, all I can say is that nobody will pay attention to him. And so only thing I can say is, oh, please, somebody got to help this boy. And then even this day, I remember that situation, and then wonder if that boy would ever made it or not. Mm-hmm. And then same day when airstrike and stuff, and we went to Han River and the north side of Han River, and then I met this gentleman because of that the river was too wide for me to swimming or. And in the book, you will see how I met him and how I left it. I guess chapter 19 is where I talk about him, and that I really thought he was an angel because he was in white farmer pants and then more like a mob, like a jacket. And then he was walking back and forth and asked him if what we were doing. And then I told him briefly what the situation is, and then I needed to go the other side so I can go back to my home. And he said to me that because it's daylight, I cannot help you. However, if you wait in here, and when the sun goes down, and then I will come and help you. And that time, all I can think about is my grandmother's prayer. She must be praying for me again. That's what I knew. And then she said, "That's got to be Andrew." That's what I said to myself, and I still believe that that was him.
Yeah. But, well, there's so many accounts. There's 52 chapters, and every single chapter begins with a scripture verse that you kind of have as the theme of that chapter, and the many miraculous ways that God was working or bringing healing or hope or change or having you navigate through things that many of our listeners. Now, we have a lot of senior saints and war veterans that know the carnage in war and the brutality and the suffering and the death. And I know, Roger, with you serving in Vietnam, it had a huge impact on your life, and you had to deal with post-traumatic stress disorder the heartache of seeing the things that you saw and witnessed. And, you know, again, our prayers are certainly with both of you, with just the ways that God can bring healing and hope and change. But you've seen kind of mankind at his worst, and the carnage and the results, you know, forever influence you. But yet many times, Heijin, throughout this book, you just kind of see miraculous answers or ways God provided through circumstances or through heartache or learning to forgive. And knowing that we only have a few minutes, and there's so, I'm just going to encourage people to come out next Tuesday and purchase a copy. It's a fascinating story. It's a heart-wrenching story, but there's a lot of courage and survival and the ways you navigated through things. And you share kind of some of your daydreams and your thoughts, and take us through some of the narrative of how you're thinking about how wonderful America is, your new home, and how people in America embraced you, and all the different customs and things you had to adjust to, and our eating habits. And I mean, that's really delightful. I learned a lot about Korea and the Korean War, and Roger, just some of your stories. story, and driving cars where you had to have $50 worth of oil because every, 5 miles you had to fill it up again. And she thought, is every American car like this? And there's a lot of just really cute stories. But let me close on a positive side, because you grew up in your mind in a Christian home. People seemed to love God and pray to God. But it wasn't until a missionary sat you down in Germany, another one of the places you were stationed, where you learned about that personal relationship. So maybe in our closing, just about a minute and a half, talk about the difference of feeling like you're a Christian and then knowing that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Okay, that was in Germany, and Grace Brackett is the one guide us to receive Christ, and using that Bible verse, Revelation 3:20, and then when she showed to me how the Jesus is standing in the other side of the door and then knocking your door, and then there was no doorknob in outside, but I have a doorknob inside that I'm to opening up in order to allow him to come and then live with me. And then that was, I think, a turning point of my life. And then strange enough that the person who led me to the spiritual life, it was happened to be a Grace, which is my natural mother's name was Grace. In Korean name, Eunhae is a Grace, and Kim Eunhae. And so I thought it's kind of, so there must be some Lord's planning is there. Yeah, that's the way I see it. And I guess differences are, after then, I know everything, what I do, that he is there. And I learn to rely on everything and leave it all in his hand and living for his life. That's what I feel.
Yeah, and it took a little while, because as this missionary was sharing, you have Jesus in your heart. You're like, what does that mean? And it's just kind of neat how God used that relationship and the love in that relationship to let you know that God loves you and wants to be personally involved. And that's true for all of us. He loves us, and he has designed us and desires us to walk in his ways. And he can do that as we allow him to enter into our relationship, into our hearts. Well, I'm going to encourage all of our listeners to come out next Tuesday for our Olive Garden meet and greet, 4:30 to 6:30. Hey, Jin Lee Burton will be there along with her husband, Roger, and we'll have a World War II display set up. We'll have another author, Kevin Brooks, along with Don Rich. They co-authored a book called Glider Infantry Men Behind Enemy Lines in World War II. And so we'll have a lot of festivities. Nancy Miller, who you hear her voice on the air once in a while doing some radio spots, will also be there with other Great News Radio staff and displays. So that's this coming Tuesday at the Olive Garden Restaurant, April 17th, between the hours of 4:30 and 6:30. So come on out. The book is called The Girl with a Lotus in Her Hair, and it's very interesting and heartwarming. It's a love story, but there's also survival and courage, and I'd encourage you to pick up a copy. It'll also be translated in Korean, so if you have any Korean friends, this might be a great witnessing tool to introduce them to the love of God and how he can work in unique ways. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.